Welcome to this online service for Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Church on Sunday, the 26th of September 2021. My name is Greg Mackay and I'll be service leading for you today. We welcome those from our member churches of Lugano Peakhurst and also from Oatley Uniting Church, as well as those who are joining us on our online worship community. In today's service, the Bible reading is to be given by Jenny from Oatley Uniting Church. Denise from Lugano Peakhurst Church will be leading the prayers, and our message today is being delivered by Keith, and we thank Keith for his message today. Our call to worship today is based on Psalm 124. You are Lord who made heaven and earth. You are Lord who is on our side through thick and thin. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessing be upon us and our neighbours within the created world. Blessing be known by us who worship you this day and all your human family. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us worship God. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness to us in so many different ways. Thank you that you are unchanging in your love for us. In this ever-changing world in which you have given us, you are the unchanging rock on which we can depend. Help us to trust in you as the foundation of our faith and be continually looking to you in all we do. Speak to us today through your servants and through the other aspects of our worship together today. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Let us worship together by singing or listening to the first two songs, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and Above All.
all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Good morning. My name's Jenny Gallagher and I'm from Oatley Uniting Church. The Bible reading today comes from James 5, verses 13 to 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The book of James was reputed to have been written sometime between AD 48 and AD 62. 62 was the year that James was stoned to death. Notwithstanding this, the letter's teachings should not be relegated to a bygone age, but they are very much applicable to us today. The New Testament lists at least five men named James, two of whom were Jesus' disciples, and another being Jesus' half-brother. Tradition has credited the authorship of this letter to the Lord's brother, and there is no reason to question this view. The writer was well known and became leader of the church in Jerusalem at an early date. James recognises Jesus' lordship over him, and in James chapter 1 verse 1, he refers to himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. In conjunction with that, there is a close parallel between the content of this letter and the teachings of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Although James does not quote any statement of Jesus exactly, there are more similarities to the Lord's teachings in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 in this letter than in all the other New Testament epistles combined. This would indicate a close association between James and Jesus, resulting in a strong influence in James's life. Finally, in his letter, James focuses on community life in the body of Christ, underscoring the importance of congregational care for each member. Those who are suffering distress or experiencing sickness should ask for prayer from the church leaders. The word prayer occurs seven times, either as a noun or a verb. We will talk more about our reading from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, later in our message.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. My message today is entitled The Prayer of Faith, and this is the fifth and final message from the book of James. Firstly, what does the Bible have to say about prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? I would suggest that it is primarily to build a relationship with God. There is no doubt that Jesus was totally reliant on prayer with God, and if he needed to do it, then praying would doubly apply for us. Because God is personal and we as followers of Jesus should recognize our dependence on God, we are able to offer all types of prayers to him. Probably the most recognizable of Jesus' prayers is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:9-11 and in Luke 11:2-4. He is asked by one of his disciples, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus' longest prayer is recorded in John 17. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus agonizes in prayer prior to his betrayal and arrest. During this time, he asks his disciples to watch and pray, but all they could do was fall asleep. Jesus' final three prayers were spoken on the cross prior to his death. Secondly, why faith? As believers, we have all been given a measure of faith. It is the same faith that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. When we place our faith on the line, Jesus will develop it. What do the scriptures say about faith? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is to be sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." The ultimate declaration of our faith comes in Revelation 12:11. Those facing the cataclysmic events at the time were able to confess, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony." Let us now examine our reading. In verse 13, all of us at some time in our lives will experience suffering, whether it is sickness, pain, loss, sorrow, or persecution for our faith. Suffering has been part of the human experience since humankind's fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. Psalm 22 includes a graphic description and prophecy of Jesus' suffering and agony before and on the cross. On the cross, he bore the penalty for all of our sin, along with our sicknesses and diseases. Suffering, however, can lead to a demonstration of God's power and grace in our lives, as evidenced by the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh experience in 2 Corinthians 12:7. In 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul tells believers to expect persecution because of their relationship with Jesus. Linked with suffering is cheerfulness, and for this we are urged to praise and thank God every day for something he has done in our lives. We can thank God for his provision even when we are in the midst of suffering, because we know that he will be with us, providing we invite him to join us in whatever we are going through. We may well ask, does God intervene to the point of keeping us out of trouble? No. Does he intervene at all? Absolutely yes. Verse 14 firstly starts with a question. Are any among you sick? The word "any" assures us that the prayer of faith is not restricted to a select few. Indeed, no one is excluded from asking for prayer. Secondly, James instructs the sick person to call for the elders or the leaders of the church to pray for the person. This is an acknowledgement that the person and the elders belong to a community, the body of Christ, and the person doesn't need to rely solely upon their own faith. One important point for us to note, prayer should be our first choice, not our last resort. Thirdly, James instructs the elders to anoint the person with oil. In those days, oil was often used as a medicine, as evidenced in the story Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Today, oil is seen as a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, the anointing with oil is to be done in the name of the Lord. This is referring to the authority believers have to invoke God's presence, power, and authority by using the name of Jesus. It is not the oil that heals, the leaders who heal, the prayer that heals, but God alone who heals. God can heal anyone should he choose to do so. Let us always remember what God did in Jesus on the cross was a total work of healing, body, soul, and spirit. Verse 15 is a rather contentious scripture because of the way in which the first words have been interpreted. The New International Version says, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." Whereas the New Revised Standard Version says, "The prayer of faith will save the sick." Some believers argue as to whether physical or spiritual healing is involved. If the prayer is for spiritual healing, where a person is repenting of their sin, then the healing is 100% yes, according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. In regard to physical healing, some believers claim that all who are prayed over should receive miraculous healing, while others take the opposite view that miracles ceased centuries ago. Our experience at LPUC is different to both. Over the past 30 or so years, we've experienced miraculous physical healings as a result of prayer, and we continue to have a very active prayer ministry in our church. Was everyone who received prayer for healing healed during this time? No. As I mentioned previously, God doesn't choose to heal everyone, and Jesus didn't choose to heal everyone either during his earthly ministry. Notwithstanding that, we should never use that as an excuse to forego prayer for others. God wants us to ask. He wants us to pray in faith, believing that our God is able. In answer to the question, does God still heal today? Absolutely yes. In the late 1960s, evangelist Catherine Kuhlman once responded to a Christianity Today interviewer who asked her about those who weren't healed. "I don't understand it," she replied, "but I weep over it." She went on, "Not everyone we pray for will be healed, but that shouldn't keep us from praying with faith." Even those who Jesus healed eventually died. Verse 16 refers to the possibility of a link between sin and sickness. Jesus used the example of a man born blind, and he pointed out to his disciples that there was no link between his blindness and sin. Job's predicament is another good example of someone being sick and then having nothing to do with sin. On the other hand, unconfessed sin may, on the part of the person praying or the person receiving prayer, hinder God's healing. James reminds us that the prayer that brings mutual confession and spiritual healing may also bring physical healing. Confessing of sin to one another in the body of Christ, while seldom practiced today, may prove to be very important in restoring unity in the body. The Lord gave Solomon a promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that is still valid for us today. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The latter part of verse 16 reads, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Do we believe that? Do we think God is a respecter of persons? Do we think that God hears the prayers of a more perfect people than ourselves? The truth is that God looks for faith, and when he finds it, he can do powerful things. He can forgive our sins. He can forget about our weaknesses. He seeks our bold faith, for when we offer that to him, he can use us way beyond our own human capacity. In verses 17 and 18, God wants us to have a journey of faith. He wants to walk with us on this journey. If we are going through suffering or trials, he will be with us. He wants us to grasp that it is about eternal relationships on a day-to-day basis. What was James's reasoning for mentioning Elijah in verse 17? James presents Elijah as a person much like us. God wanted Elijah to persist in prayer, and he wants us to do likewise. If God heard Elijah's prayers despite his failures and weaknesses, and we can identify with Elijah's weaknesses, God will hear our prayers too. Did God need Elijah's prayer? No. The answer is that God wants to include us as believers in what he is doing, and he does it with our prayers. Our relationship with God is deeper when we persist. Elijah's heart was in tune with God's, and he rightly discerned what God wanted him to do. One point which I found most interesting in 1 Kings 17:1 reads, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither dew or rain in the next few years except at my word." This would appear to be a prophecy rather than a prayer about the drought and subsequent rain mentioned in verses 17 and 18. In verses 19 and 20, James closes his letter with an encouragement for Christians to seek to bring back to the Lord those who have wandered from the faith. He wants us to pray not only for Christians who are sick or those who wish to confess their sin, but also for lapsed Christians who have wandered away from God. As Christians, it should be also our fervent desire to pray for members of our own families who have turned their backs on God. In closing, we are not praying to a distant God. We live in him and he lives in us. He has given us his word and spirit to bring that word to life in our hearts. He wants us to pray as people confident of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our relationship with Jesus should be that we are entirely at his disposal. In our spiritual lives, may we not only constantly seek communion with God, but also with the followers of Jesus at Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Church. Amen. Let us worship and praise God together by singing or listening to the song, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Bearing all my sin and shame in My name is Denise, and I'll be leading us today in our prayers for others. Please join me. Dear Heavenly Father, you tell us in your word to pray for each other, and that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We come humbly now into your presence to praise you for your power, love, compassion, grace and mercy, which is new every day. We ask your forgiveness for what we have thought, said or done wrong this week, and ask your help to be more like Jesus. We thank you for the easing of restrictions and increasing vaccinations in our local area. We pray protection and strength for all our frontline workers, especially the doctors, nurses, ambulance workers, paramedics and aged care workers. We pray wisdom for our state premier Gladys in all her decisions and an end ahead to the COVID pandemic. We also pray for Scott Morrison, wisdom in his decisions and handling the international situations as well as the domestic issues for the best for Australians. And we pray for peace and less violence in the protest in our country. We thank you that no lives were lost in the recent earthquake in Melbourne. We thank you for the school holidays and pray for both teachers and students and parents to enjoy the break from homeschooling. Refresh them, Lord, ready for a new term. We pray for our ministers, Yulung and Alex, as they minister faithfully at Lugano, Peakhurst and Oatley churches. May they be guided and helped by your Holy Spirit, and may you protect and provide all their needs and bless their families. We pray your wisdom and leading for both church councils in all their decisions, to be good stewards and to take care of their congregations. Instill hope and faith in all as they plan for what's ahead. We pray for our messy church families and ask that each family will be blessed and helped in their journey with you, especially as they receive and use their at-home kit. We also pray for our mainly music families, especially for the Monday Zoom session, to provide a sense of community and inspiration. We pray for our loved ones in nursing homes. There is much concern for them in isolation and being room bound. We lift up Graham, Margaret, June, Coral, and Barbara from Lugano, and those from Oatley Church to feel the presence of the Lord. Also, those with anxiety, depression and fear during lockdown, to know your peace, comfort and love. We thank you for the many volunteers at Lifeline and pray strength and wisdom for them to listen with compassion and give the help needed. We pray especially for Oatley Uniting for their building, discipling culture cluster and the Bible reading plan of the congregation, that your word would enter into the lives of the people, giving light and hope. Make us a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us bring love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord, and where there is doubt, true faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have a few announcements today, so get ready to put these into your notebooks. We're having another Zoom trivia today, and everyone's welcome to attend. starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon on Sunday the 26th. You can find the meeting ID on the screen. If you have any questions or inquiries about this, please contact Ilung. Also, our church website is being upgraded, and we'd like to invite you to enter our website photo competition. You can enter as many photos as you like, but it needs to be done before Tuesday, the 5th of October. There are a few requirements. Your photo must show the journey theme, be taken in the local area, have a landscape orientation, be high colour, be high resolution in colour, with no filters. If you want to take some photos and send them in, you can send them to the email address there, office@lpuc.org.au, before Tuesday, the 5th of October. Messy Church. The topic of this month's Messy Church is God is our friend. An at-home activity has been posted or delivered. If you want to give your feedback or to request this kit, please contact the Messy Church team. The next announcement is about Mainly Music. Each Monday during the Greater Sydney lockdown, we provide Mainly Music via Zoom to sing Mainly Music songs and hear a story. Everyone is welcome to join us. Any inquiries, please contact Natalie. For prayer requests, if you have any prayer points that our prayer team may pray for and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by email. Our regular Zoom fellowship is on this Sunday from 11 a.m. If you want to get connected by a Zoom fellowship on any Sunday, please contact Ilung by email. That's on the screen there. And don't forget, next Sunday is Daylight Saving starts. So put your clocks forward 1 hour on next Sunday, the 3rd of October.
As we close this service, we will now go with the blessing. Now to him who was able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore, until Jesus comes. Amen. Hope you have a very blessed day and week. Ilung will be leading and bringing the message next week.
I got no worries. Me.